يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ.
Children of Israel, recall my favor which I bestowed upon you, and I exalted you above the nations of the world.
Children of Israel, a fresh subject is now broached. In order to appreciate it fully, the following should be clearly borne in mind. 1. After Noah, Abraham was the first prophet appointed by God to spread the universal message of Islam. At the outset, he journeyed for many years from Iraq to Egypt and from Syria to Palestine to various parts of Arabia, inviting people to serve and obey God. Later, he appointed deputies in various regions to carry on his mission. He sent his nephew Lot to Transjordan, his son Isaac to Syria and Palestine, and his eldest son Ishmael to Arabia. Then he built in Mecca the shrine called the Kaaba, which subsequently and under God's own command was made the center of the prophetic mission. 2. Abraham's progeny descended in two main branches. One of these, the children of Ishmael, lived in Arabia. The Quraysh and other Arabian tribes belonged to this branch of Abraham's line. Even those Arabian tribes which were not related to him by blood identified themselves with Abraham, since they had been influenced in varying degrees by his religious ideas. The other branch consisted of the children of Isaac. In this branch, there arose a great number of prophets, for example, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Solomon, John, and Jesus. Since Jacob was called Israel, his offspring came to be known as the children of Israel. Other peoples who accepted their faith as a result of preaching either lost their former identity and became assimilated with them, or remained separate from them ethnically but identified with them religiously. At the time when decadence flourished, this branch of the Abrahamic family gave birth first to Judaism and subsequently to Christianity. 3. The true mission of Abraham was to invite people to obey God and to mold the entire system of individual and collective life according to the divine guidance. He was himself obedient to God and followed the teaching received from him, and constantly strove to spread it and make all human beings live in obedience to it. It was because of this that he was appointed the religious leader and guide of the whole world. After his death, the task of guiding the world was entrusted to the branch which had issued from Isaac and Jacob, and which came to be known as the children of Israel. It is in this branch that many prophets were born. It was also this branch which was given the knowledge of the straight way, and was designated to lead all the nations of the world along that way. It is of this favor that God again and again reminds these people.
In the time of Solomon, this branch took Jerusalem as the center of its mission. Jerusalem maintained its central position for all devotees of God and remained the Qibla, direction in which all worshippers of God were required to turn in their prayer.
4. While addressing the children of Israel in the last 10 sections, God set forth the criminal record of the Jews, exposed their decadent state at the time of the revelation of the Quran, and made it clear to them that they had totally lacked gratitude to God for His favors and bounties. Not only had they ceased to guide the world, but had turned away from the truth and righteousness to such an extent that nearly all of them had lost the capacity to do good and to respond to truth. 5. It is also intimated that the religious leadership of all mankind is not an exclusive privilege of Abrahamic blood, but rather the fruit of Abraham's sincere obedience and service to God, to which he had wholly consecrated himself. Only those who follow the way of Abraham, the guide the world along that way, are therefore entitled to the position of guidance and leadership. And since the Jews had abandoned it and became incapable of carrying out the mission of Abraham, they were being removed from that position. 6. At the same time, it is hinted that the non-Israelite peoples who identified themselves with Abraham through Moses and Jesus had also veered from the way of Abraham. The same was true of the polytheists of Arabia, who felt proud of belonging to Abraham and Ishmael, and based this pride on lineage alone. For so far as their faith and conduct were concerned, they had not even the remotest tie with Abraham and Ishmael. They did not deserve, therefore, to be entrusted with the religious leadership of the world. 7. It is also made clear that by God's will, a prophet, for whose advent Abraham and Ishmael had once prayed, was born in the other branch of the Abrahamic family, i.e. the Ishmaelites. The way propounded by this prophet is exactly the same as that by Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Jacob, and in fact all the messengers. His followers also confirm the truth of all those designated in the past to serve as God's messengers, and call mankind to the same message those messengers preached earlier. Thus, leadership now naturally devolves on those who follow this prophet. 8. This proclamation of a transfer of leadership naturally called for the proclamation of a change in the direction of prayer. As long as the Israelites held the reins of the world's religious leadership, Jerusalem remained the center of the mission of Islam and the Qibla of truth-loving people. The Arabian prophet, peace be upon him, as well as his followers, had accepted Jerusalem as the Qibla until God duly proclaimed the removal of the Jews from their position of leadership. With this proclamation, Jerusalem ceased to enjoy its central position. So it was proclaimed that from then on, the center of God's true religion would be the place from which the message of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had radiated. Since in the past it had been the center of the mission of Abraham, peace be upon him, it was difficult even for the polytheists and for the people of the book to deny that the Kaaba had a greater right to be made the Qibla. There was thus every reasonable ground for the decision to change the Qibla, and its opponents could only object out of irrational adamance. 9. The proclamation that the followers of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had been designated to the religious leadership of mankind, and that the Kaaba would now be the focal point of man's religious life, was followed by directives beginning with verse 153 and continuing to the end of the surah, addressed to the Muslims. These directives were aimed at enabling the Muslims to acquit themselves credibly of the duties laid upon their shoulders as the bearers of this mission.
وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ.
And have fear of the day when none shall avail another, when ransom shall be accepted from no one, when no one's intercession will profit them, when there shall be no help from any quarter.
وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ.
Recall when Abraham's Lord tested him in certain matters, and when he successfully stood the test, he said, "Indeed, I am going to appoint you a leader of all people." When Abraham, peace be upon him, asked, "And is this covenant also for my descendants?" The Lord responded, "My covenant does not embrace the wrongdoers."
Recall when Abraham's Lord tested him in certain matters. At various places, the Quran enumerates the severe tests through which Abraham passed. It was only after these had been completed successfully that he was able to establish his worthiness to serve as the religious guide and leader of all mankind. From the moment when the truth was revealed to him till the moment he died, his life was a continuous tale of sacrifice and suffering for his cause. There was no conceivable object of man's love and attachment in the world which Abraham did not sacrifice for the sake of the truth. Likewise, there is no conceivable danger which instinctively frightens man which Abraham did not encounter for the sake of the truth. The Lord responded, "My covenant does not embrace the wrongdoers."
This specifies that God's promise of the conferment of leadership applied only to those of Abraham's offspring who were righteous, and that the wrongdoers were naturally excluded. This also makes it clear that, just as the promise did not apply to the misguided Israelites, it did not apply to the polytheistic Ishmaelites.
وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا وَاتَّخِذُوا مِنْ مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ أَنْ طَهِّرَا بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ.
And we made this house, Kaaba, a resort for mankind and a place of security, commanding people. Take the station of Abraham, peace be upon him, as a permanent place for prayer. And enjoined Abraham and Ishmael, peace be upon them, purify my house for those who walk around it, and those who abide in devotion, and those who bow, and who prostrate themselves in prayer.
Purify my house does not merely mean keeping it clean of dirt and filth. The real purity and cleanliness of the house of God rests in the fact that in it the name of God alone should be glorified. If someone declares in its sacred precincts that anything other than God is his Lord, his object of worship and adoration, the dispenser of man's needs and requirements, the hearer of man's supplications, then such a person is guilty of desecrating the house of God. This verse also contains a hint as to the evil doing of the people of the Quraysh. They boasted that they were the inheritors of the legacy of Abraham and Ishmael, but instead of being faithful to that legacy, they actually trampled over it. So just as the children of Israel were excluded from the promise made to Abraham, so were the polytheistic children of Ishmael.
وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ أَضْطَرُّهُ إِلَى عَذَابِ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ.
And when Abraham prayed, O my Lord, make this a place of security and provide such of its people who believe in Allah and the last day with fruits for sustenance, Allah answered, And I shall still provide him who disbelieves with the wherewithal for this short life, and then I shall drive him to the chastisement of the fire. That is an evil end. And I shall still provide him who disbelieves with the wherewithal for this short life. Here, a distinction is made between honoring a people by entrusting it with the religious leadership and guidance of the world and bestowing on it an abundant means of livelihood. When Abraham inquired who merited world leadership, it was made clear to him that only his truly believing and righteous children, to the exclusion of the wrongdoing ones, were worthy of it. This occasioned God to clarify that the religious leadership of the world was quite distinct from its livelihood. Men of faith alone were entitled to the former, whereas both believers and unbelievers would be provided the latter. If someone enjoys abundant material wealth, it should not be misconstrued to mean that God is necessarily pleased with him and that he has been designated by God to provide religious guidance to the world.
وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.
Recall when Abraham and Ishmael, peace be upon them, raised the foundations of the house, praying, Our Lord, accept this from us. You are all hearing, all knowing.
رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ
Our Lord, make us submissive to you, and make out of our descendants a community that submits itself to you, and show us the ways of your worship, and turn to us in mercy. You are much relenting, most compassionate.
ربنا وبعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم
Our Lord, raise up in the midst of our offspring a messenger from among them who shall recite to them your verses and instruct them in the book and in wisdom and purify their lives. Verily, you are mighty, wise, and instruct them in the book and in wisdom and purify their lives. The term purification used here embraces the purification of beliefs and outlook, morals, habits and customs, and social, cultural and political life, the purification of man's life in its totality. Verily, you are mighty, wise. This has been said in order to indicate that the advent of Muhammad, peace be upon him, was in fact God's response to the prayer of Abraham, peace be upon him.